much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I called you on the phone, but you are not at home.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are not so stinging. What? You know what I'm trying to say. You should die. What? Why should I die? I did not say that. Yes, you just did. You are mistaken. Are you a long time? Do you watch all the time? Long time fan him?
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
And now.
That didn't make a lick of sense. Does anyone know what that man said?
Our feature presentation.
He wants a full recap of that man's life from birth until this minute.
Until that very moment.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Hey, Beer Mug, help yourself to a brownie, man. Kevin was nice enough to bring them in.
The least you can...
I can't believe you brought brownies.
They were made last night. They're fresh. Very, very good.
Isn't it just rude, though, to reject something like that when a friend goes out of his way to bring you something nice?
Not when he's betting against you in a weight challenge.
Oh, what? I wasn't thinking about that.
I thought, hey, nice. Uh-huh.
You know, usually we put the snacks in the office and then people can go
in there.
They're
in the office, but I just figured Beer Mug...
You actually brought them in. Into the studio.
Well, he leaves a little too much, so I thought I'd bring it in for him so that he doesn't have to.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm trying to help.
He placed it right in front of me, by the way, just now.
Well, I interpret it as Kevin is thanking you for the great work you did down at the Grammy Roundtable. He's saying, look, I know it's your job and all, but here's a little something extra just to show appreciation for the great work you've been doing, so please help yourself. And
like that's going to make any difference in a three-month bet or whatever it is. Come on.
Kevin, if I don't stop now, I'll never stop.
Right, but I mean, this isn't going to change anything.
Yes, it will.
How much? What will it change? Will you weigh more?
Tomorrow you're going to bring in cupcakes, and then the day after that you'll bring in donuts, and I'll just keep going.
No.
And my diet
it's just
will never
today.
Stop.
Had extra. My wife had a big party last night, so there was some extra brownies, so I brought one for you.
I've already
Well, this is a fine how do you do. This is a fine
Boy,
thing.
It sure is.
Thanks a lot.
He's just spitting in the face of the host.
He really is.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what happens when you try to do something nice for ungrateful people, is what it is. I'll tell you.
Me.
Yesterday, if you had not heard the show, Beer Mug decided this time he's serious. He's going to lose 30 pounds in the next 3.5 months. By June 1st, he's going to be down 30 pounds. He actually weighed himself yesterday, and money may have been put up on this bet, which he thinks is the motivation he needs. And apparently, he's going to be a little bitch about it.
That's what I'm saying. You got 3 months. 3 months. You can probably lose it in two.
No. I'm not taking any chances.
Well, it's just going to sit there. I'm just saying. It's...
Let it sit there.
All right.
Okay.
Peter, don't.
That's how you're going to be.
It's right there.
Speaking of Beer Mug, before I get to my opening story, yesterday at this time, I didn't want to talk about it on the air, but Beer Mug insisted putting it out there that he's been using Propecia.
This is not your
which
week.
It's basically for fat guys who are losing their hair. I mean, that's what the drug is for. We got a lot of response from listeners who know about it. Here's one. Taylor writes in, says, Beer Mug, I'm not sure if you know the way this works is the chemical alters the activity of the hair follicles that have just given up. But the moment you stop taking it, the hair immediately falls out in the affected area.
He never took
it at all. Hope you can afford that crap until you die. Otherwise, you're completely screwed. Is that your understanding of how the drug works?
Yeah. The minute you stop taking it, those follicles are done.
He's just waiting for an age-appropriate age.
I'm waiting for the point where I don't care.
Right.
You're a 26 year old going on 46, so you might as well.
28 going on 48.
All right, 28. All right, whatever.
When he hits 45, he'll just let him go.
Yeah.
For folks who haven't seen Beer Mug, here's every time you hear the word Beer Mug, just think Paul Giamatti, and you'll be set.
Oh, come on,
Paul Giamatti and a half.
Dear Kevin and Bean, listening to the podcast right now, I probably shouldn't be giving you any more ammunition against poor Beer Mug, seeing as how he's already falling apart at the seams, but I thought you might be interested in some of the side effects of Propecia.
Oh, good.
Oh, I know.
I don't.
Really?
What are they?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Well, impotence is one.
Yeah. Really? Mm.
Abnormal ejaculation is another. Decreased ejaculatory volume is another. Abnormal sexual function. Here's one called gynecomastia, which, if I remember correctly, isn't that man boobs? Well, is that what that is?
Kind of sounds like it.
Yeah, but that's not because I take Propecia. That's because I'm fat. But
no, no, no. He's saying that's one of the side effects.
That's
of
one
Propecia.
Of the side effects, right?
Yeah, which means it's going to add to that,
right? Erectile dysfunction and testicular pain.
Wow,
apparently all side effects.
Why does it all attack the junk?
What's going on?
It must be a hormone of some sort.
All the negative side effects are right there.
That is weird. And by the way, I don't even want to get into this part of the conversation, but does it grow hair all over or just on your head?
Just on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I've.
Oh, is it a topical? It's something you rub in?
No, no, no. It's a pill.
It's a pill. Then why doesn't it grow hair everywhere?
I haven't noticed hair everywhere, then more than normal.
Maybe hair elsewhere isn't falling out. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe
but,
so.
But I did experience a little bit of ED.
Really? Oh,
okay. A little bit?
Hopefully just in time for Valentine's Day.
All right.
But I worked it out and everything's okay.
He worked it out.
Yeah.
I would like a fuller explanation of that.
Not one bit.
Well, I do hear that the only thing that counters the effects of the Propecia is fresh brownies. That's what I do understand.
There's one right there for you, by the way. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
All right, I'll do this one quick since we just wasted all that time. But this is a great Valentine's Day follow-up story. It went down in Portland yesterday, which, by the way, if you're not familiar with Portland, it's the real-life town based on the TV show Portlandia. A lot of people don't realize that. Officers went to the New Seasons Market at around 12:35 yesterday afternoon after witnesses called in reporting seeing a Subaru Legacy leaving the parking lot with a naked female tied up in the back seat of the car with duct tape over her mouth.
What?
That's the type of thing you call the police when you see that, right?
I would think, yes.
Officers flooded the area. Police in Washington were littered in case the vehicle headed north on Interstate 5. It turned into a huge police deal. They were able to track down the vehicle to the address it was registered at. An officer went to the home, saw the Subaru and the bound and naked woman in the back. That's when 31-year-old Nicholas Harbor told officers that he and his 26-year-old girlfriend Stephanie Pelsner were doing some Valentine's Day role-playing. Police confirmed to the police that she was voluntarily bound and nude in the back of the car, and they were just having fun.
The woman told that?
Yes, because that was what was going on, is they were role-playing in public. And that was the problem, is that when people saw it, they did not necessarily know that that was going on.
Oh, my gosh. Those kids are having some fun.
No kidding.
How about that?
Hey, let's not do the thing with the duct tape, though.
That seems painful, right?
That must have been quite a... That's the last thing the police officers expected as the explanation when they pulled up and they saw the woman bound and gagged in the backseat of the car, naked, right?
She told them that...
We're just playing.
She told them that it was role-playing, but she was doing Morse code with her eyes.
Well, they missed it.
Help me.
Somebody's got her family someplace else.
Apparently they bought it. So there you go. So whatever you were doing for Valentine's yesterday, not nearly as exciting as these guys.
No,
I was left out. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Now I gotta do it like that.
Eh? We have comedian Eddie Izzard in the studio today.
Yes.
Very excited about that. He's one of the best.
Yeah, he is.
And he's playing, I don't know, is it Largo?
Yes.
Holds like 11 people.
Yes.
So we gotta move some tickets, people. We gotta move some tickets. I'm not sure how, but we're gonna figure out a way. We have You Were Stuck in an Elevator.
Oh, is that today we're going
to
do that?
We were going to do this yesterday, but then we decided to do You Sent Yourself Flowers for Valentine's Day. And
that's
we got
right.
a lot of calls. People who sent themselves flowers, including guys.
And it worked?
And it worked. That was the shocking part.
Yeah.
It worked. We have a secret break, Omar's mystery break, which means one of us is going to get made fun of.
Nope, not one of us.
Both of us?
Nope.
Me?
Just you.
Well, that's one of us.
This time it's just
I'm
you.
I'm one of us.
No, I'm saying there's no mystery in this one that it's going to be one of us. It's going to be you.
No, I know.
Because I think you're going to enjoy it. I think it's going to be your new ringtone.
Shut up. I think you're going to enjoy it. Bean always says that.
You're going to be proud.
Every single thing that is meant to embarrass me, Bean's like, oh, no, you'll like it. I think
you're going to love it. I guarantee you're going to love it.
I'm not going to love it. Otherwise, you would have told me what it was. So none of us like these mystery breaks because we know they're about somebody. And then as soon as I learned Bean knew what it was, I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah. The mystery breaks are all fun until you find yourself talking to the Jetsons in 1991. And then all of a sudden, they're not so much fun anymore.
No, it isn't fun at all. We're going to catch up with the International Man of Mystery, Doto.
Really?
Oh, I'm so excited.
How about that?
There's certain things on the schedule that stick out where you go, this is really what I'm living for today.
Yeah.
Eddie Izzard is one of them, and Doto's the other one. I can't wait for Doto. He's just
awesome.
He's the best.
I don't believe we've spoken with him in 2012. This can be our first update.
And the Spider, Anderson Silva, coming up just after the six, just after six, about a half hour from now. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. The middleweight champion of the world in the UFC, Anderson Silva, joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Kevin and Bean this hour, filling in for Ralph Graham with the Showbiz Beat. Next hour, by the way, Lisa May.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This means a lot of Broadway. Hey, you know who's a dick? Chris Brown.
Yeah, why? Why now?
Chris Brown's a dick.
Why now?
It's kind of a thorny issue because he did a bad thing. We all know that. And did he get arrested? Did he go to jail? Did he ever serve time? What was the result of that? Did he pay his due to society?
I don't think so. I don't think she pressed charges.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
Oh, so he just essentially got away with it?
If I recall correctly.
Well, then he is a dick. And I know that not everybody is delighted to see him back and successful and popular again. And I think I would count myself among those people.
Right.
But he was at the Grammys on Sunday night, which coincidentally, by the way, was the exact 3-year anniversary of his assault on Rihanna that happened after the Grammys. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he performed 2 or 3 times during the show. He was very well received. He won a Grammy for the best R&B album. So, I mean, that's as much of, hey, welcome back as anything. That's all's forgiven if you're starting to win Grammys for the best album, right?
Sure.
Well, a lot of people were very upset to see him welcomed back. You know, just like Michael Vick still has protesters when he plays football. There were a lot of people, a lot of online, you know, people like Jack Osborne and Eric Stone Street from Modern Family, Miranda Lambert, Neil Patrick Harris. A lot of people were tweeting saying it was disgusting that he was there and how dare he show his face and on and on and on. At that point, I could just go, well, it's just personal taste whether you're ready to accept him or not. But then what he did next changes everything for me. He goes on Twitter and he writes this. Hate all you want because I got a Grammy now. That's the ultimate F off.
Wow.
Now,
how does the Grammy wash away what people hate him for?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the ultimate F off. So, look, it's one thing to come out and go, I was wrong and I humbly stand here and thank you for giving me the opportunity to, you know, to be back and show that I'm a better person and all of that. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to basically rub people's faces in it and go, oh yeah, well F you because I got a Grammy. And of course he, you know, his people I'm sure got to him and said bad move and he did delete the tweet, but not before it had already been out there and people had already copied it and sent it. So now he's got a little bit of a new controversy going. But that's not the way to handle this, right? That's not the way, if you're trying to win people over, and maybe it does take a long time, that's not the way to start getting in people's good graces by acting like that, is it?
No, I don't think he ever really fully took responsibility and all that kind of stuff. I think he just figured he'd wait it out.
Right.
Now it's been long enough and he's going to move on.
But he's a dick. We can all agree on that, right? Okay.
No question.
Done.
I'm not this type of person, but if you'd like to rent the room, 434, I think it was the Beverly Hilton where Whitney Houston passed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A long list. You got to get to put your name on a long list of people who are trying to stay
there. Are you kidding?
Nope. TMZ reports room 434 is already occupied.
It's a little bit of a surprise that there's already somebody in there.
Hotel agents are getting flooded with requests, and it's booked for the foreseeable future.
Jeez.
What is it that you... Why? What is it that
is
you...
Is it a story, or is it that you love her, and you just want to be
that's
where
what I was wondering.
She was?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, is if it's Whitney Houston fans who wanna be close to where she died.
But she's not
Did they lay
there.
In the bathtub?
She's not there. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say. It's kind of creepy.
TMZ yesterday, I think it was, maybe the day before, but I thought it was yesterday, put up photos of the bathroom. And I don't know how they got these, but I mean, Whitney Houston's death tub, who, by the way, are playing Coachella, but the photos were up of the bath. I mean, with water, not just the tub, water still in the tub from when they took the body away. The towel that presumably was around her hair, still in the bottom of the tub. She had a gravy boat in the tub. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
What? No.
A gravy boat.
She just drinking gravy?
Apparently, she asks for olive oil and puts it in a gravy boat and rubs it on her skin when she gets out of the tub. Apparently, that's why for much of her life she had beautiful skin, is that she would put olive oil on it. But that's in the picture, too. I don't know what the line is for TMZ. I mean, remember that they, you know, they passed on running the photos that they were offered of that head that was found in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
But apparently the death tub is above the line of things that are okay to put on the site. Is that kind of, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
All right. That's creepy.
It's creepy, I'd and I creepy. Don't need to see it, really.
I'd say creepy. I don't want to see it. And
I don't think
want
we need to see it either.
I don't want to stay in the room. No interest in
none
that
of
either.
Those things, yeah.
What's the point of that?
I'm surprised that somebody hasn't started taking the bath water and putting it in little jars and selling it to people as a memento.
Have. Who you knows? Know? Have you
maybe.
Checked eBay?
No, I haven't. Yeah. And let me close with this because this is the greatest story in the world. This is Tarek Salahi, who you remember is part of that reality TV show couple. He and his wife, Michelle Salahi, became famous when they were the White House party crashers.
Oh, mm-hmm. right.
And then she left him for the guitarist for Journey. Well, he is suing the guitarist for Journey, Neil Schon, for $50 million. Claiming that he and his estranged wife were on track to make a fortune together with television offers, including a generous offer to appear on the Australian version of Dancing with the Stars. But because now they weren't together anymore, he wants that future income, that income that they would have gotten as a couple.
Oh, good luck.
What?
He wants Neil Schon he thinks Neil Schon is responsible for that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It gets worse.
I think we could have made billions.
He also says, and I don't know if this is true or not. This doesn't seem true to me. This sounds like a crazy thing that somebody would say, and this guy is crazy. He says that Neil Schon from Journey then waged an X-rated campaign to humiliate him by emailing Tarek photos of his penis and calling him on the phone to remind him, hey, I'm effing your wife.
Well, that seems like it would be easy enough to prove.
Yeah.
That's quite a move.
So he's demanding at least $50 million for future income and emotional distress, conspiracy to defame, interfering with contracts, defamation. He wants punitive damages. It goes on and on and on. That sounds like an awesome lawsuit, right?
Awesome. Yeah, in a bad way, sure.
Would you, I mean...
No.
How many guys would steal somebody's woman and then email, you know, call the husband and rub it in and then email photos of the penis and go, this is what she's got now.
Yeah, that's pretty crappy.
It depends on what the husband's like. If the guy's a douchebag and has been a douchebag.
Right.
You know, maybe she's much happier. And so.
Maybe she's telling him stories.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take a picture, email it to him. That'd be funny.
he's a terrible man.
That'd be really funny. Celebrity birthdays today. Actress Jane Seymour is 61 years old. Cartoonist Matt Groening. From The Simpsons, mm-hmm. is 58 years old.
Wow, he's having a big week. His show's on the air 500 episodes this week. He got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday, and today's his birthday.
Model Janice Dickinson, who will tell you that she was the first supermodel.
That's what I understand.
And from America's Next Top Model, is 57 years old. Singer Brandon Boyd of Incubus is 36.
Mm.
Yeah. Drummer Brooks Wackerman of Bad Religion is 35. Singer Connor Oberst is 32.
Right. Nice.
Model Salida Ebanks is 29, and actress Amber Riley from Glee
is she a little precious?
I'm not positive.
That sounds right.
I think she's a little precious.
Is 26 years old, and that is the showbiz.
Hi, Omar.
Hey. What's happening? Hello.
Where'd your new inspiration come from? Omar came in so happy earlier in the week. He's like, Bean, I got something I think you're going to like. I'm like, what's up?
I can't take all the credit. Dave, the King of Mexico, actually came up with the idea. He came up with one line, and I was like, oh, that's magic, and I came up with the rest. And
why did you feel, I was going to ask the question, why did you feel it is necessary to create another new tribute to our man Kevin? But I guess it's because it's easy when Kevin delivers the way he does every single day to take it for granted. It's like you look at Kobe Bryant. You look at Kobe Bryant, he goes out there every single night and he blows your mind.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you don't give him the credit for that because he's just that good. That's just what he does. But occasionally... You need to stop the presses and go, hey, let's all be aware of the history that we're watching there.
Exactly. This is a little tribute. It's more like a highlight reel.
But the difference is that I go out and put up air balls every night.
But consistently, though, so that's the thing.
So why is it that we need a tribute to that?
Because I love you.
You don't love me.
And the people love you.
You don't love me. The people don't love me.
It's nothing but love, man.
And I also think, much like you have the Zsa Zsa Gabor obituary package ready to go for whatever that day comes, I feel like we don't want to be caught empty-handed when, you know, that day you don't show up for real and for good. I feel like we're gonna need to have something to play so people can remember you by.
I see.
Excellent point.
So I guess it was Dave's idea. So he came to Omar
Stupid
and he said,
"Stupid Dave,
how about that new Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, and Bruno Mars song that is getting so much airplay right now? I'm sure you guys have heard this song, but here's a hook of it just to remind you which one we're talking about.
So what we get drunk, so what we smoke.
smoke weed. We're just having fun. We don't care who sees.
Yeah, great song. So yeah, awesome Omar song. Has taken that and he has used that as the basis for this brand new tribute to Kevin. What's this called, Omar? Does this even have a name?
Let's call it Kevin's Drunky.
Okay. Hit it, Steve.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunky.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 K-R-O-K. We've got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years. So we've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red. Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
Where was you?
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
How dare you?
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunky.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh my God.
I saw him as a what do you call
it? I
don't know. Color commentary?
By the way, just for the movie theaters, it's not a hard one, but if you heard it, but it is the way you heard it.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his. You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just did hours.
What?
Hours.
But the photo shooter look good.
So what, he sounds drunk.
Come on.
So what, he can speak.
You edited that.
Maybe he's dumb. Oh my God. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunky.
Now that's par for the cake. For the
who cares?
It's not over.
I got it.
So that's a toss-up. and
you need the
disadvantage in this story.
When good men fail to stand up, bad yes. triumphs or whatever that is.
We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world-famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
Come on.
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunky.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
Omar is literally. Omar is literally running around the studio.
You know, my biggest problem with that is because, like, a lot of times when we do these songs, we got to keep them about a minute and a half, 2 minutes at tops. I told Bean, dude, I have too many clips. We got to leave it all in.
Come on, man.
You made the right decision.
Yeah, thank you.
Totally.
Thank you.
No wonder every time we go to Omar to do something, he's like, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
No wonder.
We have to play this over and over and over.
Right? No,
this is the best.
You have to.
Oh,
the
my
problem
God.
Was, how do you know when you're done, right? You could have done another 10 verses
exactly,
if you wanted.
Totally,
that's amazing.
Man,
no. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
I feel like you need one of those helmets.
I know we promised it yesterday, but today we really are going to take your calls in the 7 o'clock hour. If you have been stuck in an elevator, got some great emails from listeners that it's happened to, by the way, and we got a funny story in the news to tell you about, too. Also, a brand new internet roundup, the Kate Upton edition. How many Kate Upton videos, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, are in this roundup?
Not enough.
Not enough is the right answer. And funny man Eddie Izzard joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show as well.
First, let's talk to the International Man of Mystery.
Are you kidding? We have Doto on the phone?
Hey, Kevin Bean. How's it going? Happy New Year.
How are you?
Happy
Doto,
New Year.
Happy New Year to you, he said in mid-February. What's going on?
Hey, Bean, I went out on a date last night. We went out to Red Lobster, Bean.
Hold on now a second. Now, this is this the girl that you met on the plane?
Yeah.
Okay. At the airport.
At the airport. Okay, now how many times have you dated her?
About this is the third time.
Third time.
Really?
Really? So it's been moving pretty slowly because we haven't talked to you since before Christmas and you were getting ready to go out on your first date. And here we are February 15th and you've only been out three times?
Yeah.
All right. Better than none.
You know what? We had at Red Lobster, you know, we had some red wine, Bean.
You had red wine.
Okay.
Yeah, are you a wine drinker, Doto?
A little bit. And we talked about Hard to Kill a little bit.
You talked about Steven Seagal?
Well, you got to go with your strengths. I mean, you got to go with the area that you're the most knowledgeable so that it looks like you got something going on in your life, right?
Yeah. What do you feel like her response to your talk about Steven Seagal is? Does she enjoy your conversation about him?
Well, when I bring up Steven Seagal, she was a little bit nervous to me, Kevin.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Do you like any movie stars who have had popular films in the last 15 years, Doto? Or is Steven Seagal where you stop?
Have you watched Forrest Gump before, Bean?
About 15 years ago, yes, I saw that. Sure, yeah, why?
Because she told me she saw that 700 times.
Several hundred times.
Wow, that's interesting.
And have you seen it at all?
Yeah, but I saw it. The last time I saw that movie, that was back in '95.
'95, okay.
Okay, so you guys talked about movies. That's nice. That's a nice, safe topic. Did you feel like there was additional pressure on you for this date because it was Valentine's Day to make it something extra special, Doto?
No, I didn't, Bean.
Good. All
right, that's a good attitude.
Excellent. Did you go out for dinner?
Yeah,
Red Lobster first. Okay,
and
I got
red
you.
Wine.
I got you with the red wine.
How did you decide on Red Lobster? That seems like an awfully fancy place for you, Doto.
Yeah, because you know what? Here's the reason, right? I mean, because I haven't had shrimp for a long time.
Okay. And she was excited about Red Lobster. She was down with that as well.
Yeah.
Did you ask her?
Yeah. I've emailed her and asked her with Red Lobster before. She said, "Yeah, it'd be Kevin."
Wow, okay. This is amazing. Have you ever been out with a girl on three separate dates before, Doto? This seems like new territory.
No, I've been out on the girls with maybe more than three, and it didn't work out.
The same girl, more than three dates?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's really impressive. Okay, so how about when the evening ended, Doto? You know, a lot of times people say that the third date, am I right about this, Lisa? The third date is the date where traditionally that's where you make the move and head, you know, take it back home, if you get my
meaning.
For
some women, that's absolutely
especially on Valentine's Day.
Right.
Okay, did I make the move?
Yeah.
You know what? I almost did make the move, but it didn't happen, Bean.
Almost.
What happened, Doe?
She says she has to get back home early tomorrow.
Oh, a preemptive! I've got to get home early.
Yeah, it was kind of devastated on my part.
Yeah.
Devastated. Sure. How did the date end? Did you guys at least kiss, Doe?
Of course we did, Bean. Why would I not, Bean?
Well, we don't know. We don't know where your relationship is.
Him.
That's all.
I know that. Okay, I know that.
Did you kiss a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, were you all hands?
No, I don't recall that, Bean.
Okay, you don't recall.
You don't know where your hands were?
Oh yeah, I know where my hands were. I'm sorry, I was just awake, Lisa. Oh,
okay.
Okay. So
you were kind of making out, though.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
Interesting.
Right.
What do you think will happen next time? Say, if you see her on a weekend, Doto, where she doesn't have to get up early the next morning.
Maybe we can go to San Diego to amp it up and go to my place, Bean.
Go to San Diego and then to your place?
Yeah.
In one day?
That sounds like a lot of driving.
Why San Diego?
Yeah, you know why, Bean? Because I thought that sometimes...
Kevin,
you know why? Because I thought that sometimes it's best to get away from the city, you know, babe. Kevin?
Uh-huh.
It's best to go somewhere where it's primitive, you know, Kevin?
San Diego is primitive?
Like San Diego is primitive, you mean?
Yeah, but at least it's away from the city. You don't have too much traffic like New York or L.A. or Chicago, you know?
Okay, right. Wait. Hold on a second. So you would get in the car and drive 2 hours away to get away from the traffic in Los Angeles, but you'd still be on the road for 2 hours to go to San Diego and then all the way back. That sounds like a lot of more driving than you would do if you just stayed in town.
Well, the reason why I like San Diego is because you're driving along the coast, Kevin.
Ah, right along the ocean.
Oh, that could be very pretty. Sure, okay. Of course. Yeah. Well, I'm
and
very
maybe she could rest her head in your lap. Yep. She gets tired, you know?
Yes, Kevin.
Yeah. I'm very encouraged that this date had worked out for you so well, and on Valentine's Day, and it sounds like you did everything right, Doto, and she said she wants to see you again?
Yeah.
No, that was a weak yeah. Doc.
Yeah, you didn't ask, did you?
Did you ask for another date?
Yes, I did. She said yes.
She said yes. Okay.
Okay.
So are you going to make it like a Friday or Saturday?
She says about this Sunday, maybe Monday.
See, but
weeknights.
See, if it's a weeknight, then she's always got the "I have to get home early" excuse.
You don't think she's seeing somebody else on Friday and Saturday, do you, Doe?
You know what? If she's seen somebody else, you know, if I would like to be honest, probably not. But what do I know? Right, Bean?
Well, I'm just suggesting, I think after three dates, you are owed some prime real estate in her schedule. Like Kevin was saying, you know, she's always got the "I got to get up early" excuse if you only see her during the weeknight. See her on the weekend and see where it goes.
I like the word being prime real estate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where's Ralph, by the way? I heard he's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
If you heard he's on vacation, why would you ask?
because...
Okay, listen, we're out of time for right now, Doto, but we wanted to ask you a favor, and I don't know how busy you are or how much you're working this week, but since Ralph is on vacation, we would love it if you could come back in and do a showbiz report for us like you did last year when he was on vacation that one time.
Mm-hmm. Remember how well you did? You came in, you did the showbiz, everybody was happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you mind doing that again? I mean, do you have a chance?
You know what? Let me hit that up with Dave later on, Kevin Bean.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I was thinking it was so much fun to have you on the end of the show on Friday is how we did it last time, and I think we all went into the weekend feeling great about ourselves.
Yeah.
So if we could try to schedule it that way again, if you could make it, you know, in the 9 o'clock hour on Friday, we would love to see you again.
Okay.
All right, Doto, I'm going to put you on hold so Dave can pick up and talk to you.
Yeah.
Because you're untrustworthy when it comes to the telephone.
Yes.
Why is Doe always so depressed whenever we get off the phone?
I don't know. Just,
we're having a nice conversation, and then as we start to say goodbye, he's like, okay.
Are you depressed?
I'm not depressed, Kevin.
Okay, good.
Doto, it was so great to catch up with you. I'm happy that it's going well with your lady. I hope it leads wherever you want it to lead, and I'm glad we got to talk to you, okay?
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay, thank you, Doto.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
talk to you soon. Hopefully see you Friday.
Now, hold on. I'm putting you on hold. Don't hang up.
Yes.
Okay. He loses energy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
It's kind of sad.
It's kind of out of energy.
A few minutes ago, we debuted the new masterpiece from DJ Omar Khan. It's a song celebrating Kevin's good work on the Kevin and Bean Show over the years. Hey, I know you guys usually put up your stuff on the website for free, but I really think that this time Kevin should get something for his contribution
now
to that song.
We're talking.
Maybe you could sell it somehow. The money could go to his charity. After all, he did all the work. With all due respect to Omar, a blind monkey could make fun of Kevin. Sincerely, Craig. So there you go. There's a little bit of a fan reaction.
There's some support.
Oh, you.
Gotta figure out a way to play that again later. It's already our most requested song of all time.
Please.
Brand new internet roundup coming up for you after 7 right now. Filling in for Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat this hour. It's the beautiful Lisa May.
Well, thank you. If you saw Adele on the Grammys and loved her like everyone seemed to, then this is sad news because she just told Vogue that for at least 5 years, don't expect music from her.
Really?
Which is shocking, and it's because of a guy. Which, let me tell you, Adele, mistake.
Nope.
Huge mistake.
Not a mistake, and I'll tell you why. She makes great music after a bad breakup.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
And that's going to happen shorter than 5 years.
I would give her a year.
So we'll be all right.
Yeah, she said she needs to take a break from music and work on her relationship with her new boyfriend named Simon Konecki.
Mm. Did you see him? Did you see him at the Grammys? Do you see what a dork
not.
He is?
Is
no.
He?
No, I didn't.
Like, yes.
Complete dork.
Maybe that's why she needs work. She has to like put him into shape.
I don't know. See, this is a good story. It's a tough one though because I want new Adele music in, you know, a year or in 2 years or something
that'll
like that.
Happen.
So if she has to hurt for that to happen, then I'm fine with that rather than her go away and, you know, start raising a family in the next 5 years.
Well, what she's saying is that when she's working all the time, her relationships fail. So that she's going to enjoy some time off, and then when she comes back, she'll be in love and she'll write a happy song, album. But
we want that? No.
We
like the music the way it is.
We like the sad, heartbreaking.
Yeah. Sure.
That's
a tough one.
It's a bad story. But I think you're right, Kevin. It won't last long.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston talked to GQ magazine and said that she is not pregnant, to clear that rumor up, and that she hasn't eloped. She said, She has gained a few extra pounds because she quit smoking. You know, she's been a secret smoker for a long time. You see these little bits here and there where, like, she was caught at Sundance hiding behind a car smoking and then ran away when someone spotted her. So
what
I guess
a scandal.
She finally quit, and she said, and this makes me like her a little bit, that it's a little harder to take off pounds now than it was when she was in her 20s.
You know,
what? She's human?
I wish she would just find a man, have kids, and then maybe she'll stop being on the cover of every magazine every week.
Well, eventually I think she will.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know.
But do you think she won't be on the cover still?
I don't know. It's bizarre, isn't it? I can't figure it out.
It is weird, the fascination that the tabloids and therefore the public must have with her, because they wouldn't keep putting her on the cover of every magazine if she didn't sell. Like, how can people at this point still be so interested in Jennifer Aniston?
There's something about her, because I don't buy those magazines, but if I see her on the cover, I do a double take and I read
I was thinking about this yesterday. Do you think it's that she picks all of these movies where she's trying to find love? And it falls through. It doesn't work for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's getting a collective idea that she's having a really hard time, and we really hope she does well.
So maybe we're just rooting for her?
Maybe.
She's America's sweetheart?
Look, I don't know. I don't buy any magazine with her on the cover, but there are a lot of them with her on the cover, which means they sell.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's possible.
I'm just trying to come up with any kind of an idea why.
Rooting for poor Jen.
Could be.
So Lindsay Lohan we haven't heard too much recently about her.
Right.
Which TMZ says maybe she's kind of making her way, getting her act back together.
Didn't she move to Europe? Isn't that what her plan was for?
Well, she moved out of Venice. I thought she was moving to New York was going to be the plan.
Right.
But who knows?
But apparently she didn't pay federal income taxes in 2010 and owes $140,000.
They're usually cool with that.
Yeah. And they want $93,000 for a tax bill from 2009 as well. And that, I'm sure, doesn't include interest and penalties and all that kind of stuff. And people have gone to jail for this.
One word. Porn. Gotta pay it off. Gotta do what you gotta do to pay it off. Gotta pay the man.
Well, she could easily pay it off with an hour's work. It's an excellent idea, Kevin.
That's right.
I'm hoping these are the very, very final gasps that we hear from Spencer Pratt.
I tweeted, I miss Spencer Pratt, just to be funny.
Yes.
Over the weekend. I got so much hate. You've got to be kidding. It's so great that he's gone.
You know, we thought he would never leave.
Of course it was a joke.
He actually did finally leave, but he is tweeting Lauren Conrad.
Ah.
And I'm sure it's because he just wants to get back in the limelight.
Sure.
So he's trying to reach out to her, and Lauren Conrad, according to Us Weekly, says that he tweeted to her, "Thanks for helping me find my miracle wife," but that she wants nothing to do with him or Heidi.
None of us do.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah.
What are they doing for money, I wonder?
Last I'd heard, weren't they living in somebody's house, like his, I don't know.
His family or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I really don't know. I have no idea what they're doing.
I feel like I'm in a nightmare.
Yeah, well, you deserve it.
King of Mexico says they're living in Santa Barbara. So maybe that's why we don't see him around. Or
is that where his family is?
I don't know.
That might be it. Oh, this is... Well, it's not... It's sad and it's good.
What?
White collar hunk, Matt Bomer, has come out. He apparently got an award over the weekend, and in his acceptance speech, he thanked his partner. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because he's beautiful, and I kind of... Blusted, but
you thought you had a chance.
No, not at all. But I still.
What's his name? White Boner.
It was never.
That's his superhero.
Maybe
name.
It's Bomber. I don't know. Bomber. It's Bomer.
Oh,
I never really knew his name. He's just really gorgeous. But it's cool because he came out, and the more people do it, the better.
I watch every episode of that White Collar because I love it, and my kids love it, and it's a really well done show, and it's so unbelievably not a surprise.
No, not at all.
He looks great. The way he wears clothes. No, he's got too much style. He's got too much style. Guys who have too much style, I look at and go, yep, he's gay. Damn, I wish I could look that good.
But I can't. Okay, story. Yeah.
Yeah. You knew it before.
Celebrity birthdays. Jane Seymour, 61. Looks so good.
Former Bond girl. Isn't she Jane Seymour
back in
the day?
Yep.
Great.
Matt Groening from The Simpsons is 58. Janice Dickinson. America's Next Top Model is 57. Mm-hmm. does look good, but doesn't look good.
I don't think
she looks good from the neck down in a bikini.
From the neck down, she's phenomenal for her age. Yeah. But she's had a little bit too much work done upstairs. Yeah.
Brandon Boyd, my boyfriend of Incubus, is 36. Ronnie Vannucci of The Killers is 36, and little precious Amber Riley of Glee is 26, and that's the show.
Comedian Eddie Izzard joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Brad Williams is going to be back to do a later showbiz beat in for Ralph Garman, too. So we have two very funny people coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
And now here it is. Mm-hmm. You need to unclick that somehow. Mugs.
And then we hit a button and the theme goes like this.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I'm happy with that start. I think that's a good start. For a second.
So, wait. What's going on, Muggs? What's happening? What are you doing? All right, listen. We have Internet Roundup. We're going to try and play some clips now. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but there are a few of them that we can't really put volume. They don't have audio, so we can't feature them on the air, like Chris Paul on a trampoline with Bar Raffaele.
Oh. What about that, by
for
the way?
For Sports Illustrated is spectacular.
Yeah, it's a photo shoot of them. It's a video of their photo shoot. And they, by the way, how likable is Chris Paul, too? What a nice guy. Super, what a good looking guy, too, which I didn't even realize. But
you've never seen him before?
No, I've seen him. He looks different on the basketball court when he's running around playing ball and being all sweaty. But, you know, cleaned up for this photo shoot, he's a good looking dude. But I'm saying, this is one of the reasons you want to come play in Los Angeles, is because if you're in, you know, New Orleans or someplace, you're not doing photo shoots for SI on a trampoline with Bar Raffaele. So well done, Chris Paul.
The first one we have here is Glozell, and this is a woman who's trying the cinnamon challenge. She may be the last person on the planet trying the cinnamon challenge. She doesn't know how much to put in her mouth, so she takes this giant, like, soup spoon. Not that you eat with, but that you serve with. A huge...
It's a ladle, is what it is.
A ladle, yeah.
Oh, no.
And she fills her mouth up with cinnamon and just explodes and coughs and practically dies on the video.
Oh my God.
And it's very funny because she just is crazy beyond words. Guy passes out from being tickled. This is weird. I don't know if you believe it or not. I tend to.
Because I totally believe it.
It looks very much like when you start tickling this guy, he literally, his eyes roll up in the back of his head and he passes out completely.
Oh my gosh.
To the point where you can tickle him some more and he won't move. His arms are limp. Everything is limp. It's really bizarre.
Larry apparently passes out when he gets tickled.
He has not passed out yet.
That's where he passes out.
His friends can't believe it.
Check his pulse. Check his pulse. And he's out for a little while.
Yeah, for over a minute. I mean, it must be some sort of a brain synapse problem or something like that. And he is aware of it. He's allowing his friends to do this in videotape, so he knows what's going to happen. But it's just, I don't understand how the brain works like that. It's weird. You got to see it.
Kate Upton, who is our new favorite.
Oh, Kate Upton.
Who's on the cover of the new Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. All right, with a bell. She's also doing Carl's Jr. commercials, and here's a behind the scenes from that.
Hi, I'm Kate Upton. I'm here shooting the Southwest Patty Melt for Carl's Jr. and Hardee's.
Hardy. She said Hardy. This is Kate Upton bouncing upcut. Now, this you have to watch. When she walks, her boobs tend to bounce a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in this video, it's captured and captured well. Somebody put a lot of work into that. And I got to say again, we said this yesterday, but I got to say again, I'm so glad that Sports Illustrated is heading the direction of you don't have to be a skeleton to put on a swimsuit and be on the cover.
Yeah.
She's not super, super skinny. And I love that. That's why she's so freaking hot. Kristen Stewart is back. She's explaining Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day is this religious holiday that's named after Dave Valentine, who's like this really hot Italian priest in the 3rd century. He's like Edward and Jacob Hop, like not a werewolf or a vampire. He's just like a sexy priest. I love her.
She's great.
And of course, this is an actress playing Kristen Stewart, but she just nails it with biting the lip and flipping her hair and just and ah. She's hilarious. They've been doing these videos. I mean, usually you've run out of steam on these kinds of parodies because they've done so many of them. She's great every time.
Angry dad responds to daughter's Facebook post. She puts up a Facebook post saying, basically, I'm not your slave. Don't make me do everything because you're being lazy. Dad finds it. She's out of the house, so he takes her laptop and gets out his gun.
Oh. And today, I run across a post on your Facebook page that you didn't think I'd be able to see. To my parents, I'm not your damn slave. It's not my responsibility to clean up your disrespectful to me, your mother, so... I'm going to put a stop to it, and I'm going to put a stop to it right now.
So he gets out his gun, he puts the laptop up.
These are exploding hollow point rounds. Yeah, and you have to pay me back for these, too, because these are about $1 a piece.
Now he's going to charge her for the rounds as well as the laptop.
And after that comment you made about your mom told me to be sure I put one in there for her, so that one's from her.
Now, he has been, he sparked a little bit of controversy with how he chose to act out to get back at his daughter here. But others are saying he doesn't seem like a crazy person. He just seems like a guy who's had enough with being disrespected by his teenage daughter. He's going to teach her a lesson, and this is how he's going to do it, kind of fighting fire with fire, by shooting this video and then putting it up online so she can find it the way he found the bad things that she had written about her parents.
Jay Leno did a joke on his Tonight Show about Jimmy Kimmel and how he paints his hair black. So Jimmy Kimmel responded.
See, these guys, the Beach Boys. Beach Boys are so old, I wasn't sure if I was watching the Grammys or the Grampies.
Oh, wow. Woo! And he's making Cleto, his band leader, say, oh, hey, whoa, like that, like Jay's does, you know, just to get him some kind of response.
Adele cleaned up last night at the Grammys. Did you hear about this? Adele swept the Grammys, and poor Vanilla Ice, they made him sweep up after the Grammys. Vanilla Ice.
Jimmy is so funny when he does Leno because he has just nailed the kind of crap comedy that Leno does and how he's so pleased with himself when he does it. I mean, it's so funny. And the hilarious thing every time Jimmy does this is it's hard for him to stop. Like, he can't stop doing Leno once he begins. And that makes it even funnier.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in unnecessary censorship. These are words that don't need to be beeped, but if he beeps them, it makes it sound worse.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
When you look at the Patriots, their defense is a little shitty.
She feels horrible for putting Madonna in that position. She up.
So that happens. It's a little bit longer if you want to see it on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Kristen Bell loves sloths.
Yes, she does.
Remember, we played this one when she was on Ellen. She literally started crying when her, was a boyfriend or
it
husband?
Was her boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
Her boyfriend, Dak Shepard, right?
Got her a sloth for her birthday, and she was so overcome that she was sobbing. And, of course, somebody has to put it, has to auto-tune it.
My entire life.
It's really well done. The whole
Gregory
thing
is Brothers are the best, man.
Really well done. It's Black History Month, Charlie Brown, with David Alan Greer. This is another Jimmy Kimmel bit. He does the best late night show, people. That's what we're telling you. And David Alan Greer voices it. It's Black History Month, Charlie Brown.
I look around my town and at all my friends, Charlie Brown, Linus, and of course, Pigpen. Now, whether we're at school or hanging out playing hooky, I always seem to be the only chip in the cookie. Only chip in the cookie. Only chip in the cookie.
Only chip in the cookie. And finally, the key of awesome. Now, you guys remember the Walk of the Earth, and they're the ones that did the Gautier cover all on one guitar. All of them were playing one guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is the key of awesome, making fun of the group that was parodying the Gautier song. And they're being humorous about it.
This used to just be my guitar. Now Dave is banging on it like he's f***ing Tito Puente. We all look sad because we're starved. Tonight for dinner we're splitting a candy bar. We are the poorest band in the world. We have to act like we are camping, but we're really homeless. And I don't even own this voice. We had to borrow it from Peter Gabriel. Don't you know? Salisbury Hill, sledgehammer.
So this is a parody of a cover of a song is what we're looking at now. So now Gautier needs to cover the parody of the cover of the Gautier song, and then we'll come full circle.
All of those and three or four more at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Oh, my foot hurts. I'm Anthony Kiedis. I can't do concerts anymore because my foot hurts. Look, I stubbed my toe.
I think it was a little worse than that.
By the way, the Red Hot Chili Peppers announced yesterday that they are going to be part of the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival. You know, we have Coachella on the West Coast. The big show every summer on the East Coast has become this Bonnaroo Festival in Tennessee. Radiohead is playing this year. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fish. Kevin, you're going to be there. The Beach Boys.
Fish.
Reunited Beach Boys are going to be there.
All right.
Bon Iver.
Watch
Skrillex,
them die on stage. For
Foster
literally.
The people. You can probably go to Las Vegas and take odds on how many Beach Boys will be left by the end of this year based on how they looked at the Grammys. Anyway, that was just announced yesterday. It's going to be the second week of June in Tennessee if you want to make your plans. Right now, though, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we want to talk about being stuck in an elevator. Kevin, you got the story that brought this back into our attention about a guy had a bad day in Chicago, right?
This guy is a loser.
What are the odds? A man in Chicago gets stuck in two different elevators in one day. First, he was trapped in an elevator between the 21st and 22nd floors of a building.
After more than 3 hours, firefighters were able to rescue him through an escape hatch, and they put him in an elevator in the next shaft, but then that elevator also got stuck.
She said shaft, first of all.
Second of all, it's one thing to hear the news reporter say 3 hours in an elevator.
That's a long time.
What that would be like.
Yeah. But then once they get you out and they say, hey, why don't you go in the next one over? I don't know. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take the stairs.
It's 22 floors, but still, you've spent enough time in elevators to not want to jump right back in there, right?
So we got on that one and that one got stuck.
I can't imagine. I mean, look, elevators have phones. Pretty much most of them do. Certainly all of the modern ones have a way to reach out to somebody in the event that you are stuck. But still, you don't know how long it's going to take. And still, there are people who are claustrophobic who don't like being in elevators anyway. Yep. And still, what about the people who aren't in an elevator by themselves? They're in an elevator with other people. That's got to be creepy to be that close to a perfect stranger all of a sudden for way longer than you anticipated,
what if
right?
It's a really full elevator.
Oh,
and you're
that'd
all
be the
stuck
worst.
In there. I can't
That's the worst.
Imagine.
Like, you don't have room to sit down.
Yeah.
And there's one giant fat guy in there. And everybody's like, this is
ridiculous. And he had onions for lunch.
Oh,
and everybody's looking around. And you know, this is what happens, man. After about a half an hour, everybody's having the same thought. All right. If it comes to it, who are we going to kill and eat? I mean, that's what they're all thinking.
And they're all looking at the fat guy because he can feed a whole group.
So we want to take your calls if you have ever been, and I don't know what kind of response we're going to get to this, but usually our listeners have done it all. If you have ever been stuck in an elevator, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. We want to hear your story. Before we go to break, Omar, one of our own.
Yeah.
This has happened to you?
Yeah, I was stuck in an elevator. It was about 3 years ago, and it was in a hospital. Because, you know, we're on third floor, and hospitals are like mazes, you know? So we're just following the exit signs.
Yeah, you can get lost forever.
Exactly, yeah. So I see an elevator, like, it's got to be it. You know, we're walking around for a couple of minutes. We get in this elevator, and it turns out to be a service elevator that wasn't in operation. There was no sign or anything. So as my wife and my in-laws, we get in, we hit the button, and it starts going down, and then up. And then back down, and then up. So then we're freaking out. And then, so it starts going down, and then it gets down to the second floor, and we're in between the second and third floor, and the doors open.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah, we're like, what the heck is going on?
Was there room for you to crawl out?
Yeah, there was.
Are you afraid it was going to move?
I'm afraid it's going to move.
People get cut in half.
Exactly. So that's what we're thinking, right?
So you said, Mom, go first.
Yeah. And in the elevator, there was a gurney there. Okay, so I was just like, for me, before we even call anybody, I'm like, let's toss the gurney in there. You know, I'm like MacGyver in there. All, no, are you crazy? So we're like, okay, we're going to call the people. We call the people on the phone, and it goes to, the maintenance in the building.
Great.
So they're like, okay, we're on it. We'll be there in 5 minutes. You know, fast forward 15 minutes later, nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
Call them up again. They're all like, we're right outside the elevator. I'm like, no, you're not. We're looking right outside.
I can see
exactly.
Outside the elevator.
So they're all like, we're coming. Flash forward another.
Can they not find you? They don't know what elevator you're in?
I guess they didn't think I was in that elevator because it was not in operation. So 20 minutes go by. I'm sick of it. I'm like, I'm very impatient guy. Yeah, it's about an hour.
Okay.
So then, and by the way, the elevator's still moving this entire time.
It moves the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's moving the entire time. Okay. So finally, it kind of stops for a good 10 minutes, and I pry open the doors, which I thought that when the elevator is moving, the elevator doors weren't supposed to open, but
have superhuman strength.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So then I just jammed the gurney in there, and we all hop on the gurney, and then we rush out really quick. And
nice.
We
got
out. And then when we get out, we're like right by where surgery's taking place. It's like people scrubbing up and stuff. They're like, "What the heck are you doing there?" I was like, "I don't know. We just came from the elevator.
Bro,
you guys gotta get out of here." I know. I asked them for pills. I'm like, "Where are the pills at?"
Omar, an hour is a long time to be in the elevator. Yeah. An hour is a long time to spend with your in-laws anyway, but especially in an elevator. Did anyone have to pee or automatically feel like they had to pee because they knew they couldn't?
No, nothing crazy.
Oh, you
like
got lucky.
That
would
have been
nothing
me.
Crazy like that.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I always have to pee. Oh, yeah. No, that would have been a disaster.
All right, everybody turn around. I'm serious.
All right. Gerald, you hang on. Michelle, you hang on. Everybody else, 1-800-520-1067. Can't wait to get to your stories. Were you stuck in an elevator? We'll talk to you next here on the Kevin DeBean Show. One of the funniest comedians ever, Eddie Izzard, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Brad Williams later on today's program. Right now, we're talking about being stuck in an elevator. Okay, enough of that. 1-800-520-1067. It happened to a man in Chicago recently, twice in one day. The first time for over 3 hours, by the way. Let's talk to Jesus. Excuse me. Let's talk to Jesus to get us going on line five.
All right. Jesus, hi.
Yes.
You got stuck in an elevator?
Yes, we did.
Any story behind it, or is it just a yes or no question?
Why are you surprised that we're asking you about your story?
All right, Jesus, what happened when you were stuck in an elevator?
When we got stuck in the elevator, I was going to a fire academy at the time, and there was a rule where you couldn't take elevators or escalators. You always had to take the stairs.
Right.
And on the last week, on the last day of our instruction, me and all my other cadets, we all decided, we were like, yo, let's take the elevator. And everyone just started jumping in. The elevator should have only taken about 10 or 12 people. We had about 23 people in there. And we hit the button to go up to the top floor. And right when the doors closed, we saw the elevator go down. And everyone's kind of just looking at themselves like, oh, damn, hit the door, open the door. And nothing's happening. And
okay. Hey, Zeus, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. You guys aren't smart enough to be firefighters if you don't understand. You can't put twice the number of people in an elevator that is recommended and expect it to still go. What are you thinking?
We weren't there. We were acting dumb on the last day.
You were drinking, weren't you?
Everyone was excited about, everyone was thinking, like, we're never going to pretty much be with each other again. Like, everyone's going off to different parts. Let's just act dumb.
Right.
How long were you guys in there?
Yeah.
For about 15 minutes.
You didn't make it as a fireman, though. You failed the exam or something, right?
No, I finished the academy.
But you're not a fireman now.
I'm starting up at a department at the end of the
month. Oh, no.
But not
in
Los Angeles anywhere. Just kidding.
Look,
thank you, Jesus.
You can barely use a telephone. I don't want to see you try to save somebody's home.
I'm gonna Jesus ask, is when trouble. My house is on fire, I'm going to ask, what's your name? Is it Jesus? Send someone else.
All right. Let's talk to Jim. Jim's on line 2, 1-800-520-1067. Jim, I think it should be obvious, but apparently it wasn't for Jesus. If you're calling us, it's because we want to hear the story of when you were stuck in an elevator. Go.
Yeah, we were at Estero Beach, Mexico for a volleyball tournament, and my buddy and I were the ones in charge of bringing the cooler down, so we went back up to the room and got the cooler, waited for the elevator, got in, went to the next floor, and there was like a pack of like 10 other people, and we just said, stuff everyone in.
Come on, everybody, get in, let's go.
I'm learning quickly, that's not the answer.
Yeah, but when you're on vacation, you're going down to a volleyball tournament, whatever, it's just like, come on.
Yep.
Yeah, so everyone piles in, so it's standing room only, and the elevator starts going down, and it's kind of like bumpy. So we get to the bottom floor, and it went past the bottom floor.
Past the bottom floor.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're in hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
How long were you stuck in the elevator?
A total of about 3.5 hours.
Wow. And with how many people did you say? A dozen in the elevator?
Yeah, there was at least 12 people. And then
Did anyone freak out?
yeah, the one girl had total claustrophobia. Just goes, we better, right when it hits, she goes, we better get out of here because I have claustrophobia.
Oh, man.
And she can't sit still and she's freaking out. So we're sitting there and then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's screaming and yelling. And finally the guys at the hotel, they cracked the door open so you could see that just the floor, just the bottom part of the floor. So it's about 6 inches.
Right.
So you could see out and everyone's going, oh, we'll get you out of there. And so finally they used a jack and jacked it up. But before that, she started freaking out. So we just started handing her beers to calm her down.
Sweet. That's the way to do it. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Bye.
Then she had to go to the bathroom.
We don't need these stories in real time, people.
We don't.
Seriously, if it was 3.5 hours, that doesn't mean your story has to be 3.5 hours.
And the whole, I'm in Mexico and then I go back into my room and I got to get the cooler and I'm there for a volleyball tournament. We don't need any of that. Just the part where you got on the elevator is what we're looking for. Why is this hard? Seriously. All right, let's go to Erica on line 7. She was only in for a little over an hour, but there is a great twist to her being stuck in an elevator. Erica, welcome to the show. What happened?
Hi. So I was actually in Australia with my mom, my dad, and my sister.
Yeah. Where'd you stay?
I didn't even remember the name of it. How horrible is that?
That's all right.
I'm such an ungrateful brat.
Go ahead.
How long were you guys down in Australia? What kind of sightseeing did you do?
Well, we started.
He's kidding.
Harbor.
Don't
answer
those questions. Kidding, because we don't need any of that. What happened?
I'm sorry. I was told to keep it short.
I know, but I know we're mocking the last guy. Sorry, Erica. Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay. Oh, I wasn't listening. I had my radio off.
All right. Go ahead.
I was in the Sydney Harbor. We just got done watching the glorious New Year's.
I don't care why you were there.
Or when you were watching television.
Start the story with, I was stuck by an elevator. Good.
Stuck in the elevator. Good. My mom ends up peeing her pants.
How do you not start with my mom peed her pants?
Because hopefully she's not listening. I don't want to get pushed out of the wheel for this.
Oh, come on. That's
so
worth it.
She pees her pants. My dad's on crazy blood pressure medicine.
Oh.
He starts taking mad drugs. I try and get out through the hatch like in movies.
Yes.
That's not real. That hatch does not exist. They lock it. You can't get out.
Well.
We had to pry open the doors. We had to wait an hour and a half because they didn't want to call the fire department because it would have cost them money and put a claim against their insurance.
Oh.
So we had to wait for the ghetto security guy to get in there and then unlock it from the other side. We were in between floors 13 and 14, and we had to climb out and fall onto the floor.
Sweet.
It was so ghetto.
And Grandma had to climb out?
What?
Grandma had to climb out and
no,
lay out?
No, Mom. No, Mom peed her pants. Not Grandma.
Listen,
made
I thought
more sense
someone
grandma,
peed their pants. I thought it was Grandma. Okay.
It makes sense.
All right. You saved the story, Erica, but what was the name of the gory movie you guys were watching again?
Thank you very much. It was your mom's porno.
Okay. Oh!
It was your mom's porno.
Yo mama!
Oh, nice!
Touche, Erica. Thank you. Touche. She wins.
So much information and man.
Office on vacation. It's us, Kevin and Bean, this hour filling in for the Showbiz Beat. We'll make this one kind of fast because Mr. Izzard is here. Eddie Izzard joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I want to start with our new girlfriend, Kate Upton, who we love so much. And by the way, we debuted a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you earlier in the hour. You definitely want to go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and check out the videos. There are several that include Kate Upton, including one of just slow motion shots of her running, which I think is really worth checking out. She's also in the showbiz news here. Have you seen this little bit of a controversy with Victoria's Secret and Sports Illustrated?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, this is good. A spokesperson for Victoria's Secret says, the casting director, actually, for the Victoria's Secret runway show that you love so much on CBS every winter, says they would never use Kate Upton for a Victoria's Secret show.
What?
Because she has a look that's, quote, too obvious, end quote, with, quote, too blonde hair and that kind of face that anyone with enough money can go out and buy, end quote. Now,
what
I don't get is, isn't she's a beautiful, fresh-faced 19-year-old completely natural? It's not like she's had plastic surgery to look like that or enhanced her boobs to look like that. That's just how God made her. Why is this spokesperson spitting in the face of God?
I don't even know what that means, too obvious.
I guess
they want their models to look
exotic,
different,
maybe.
Exotic, which they do.
So she's just too sun-kissed California girl,
maybe
looking,
or in this case, Midwest girl.
Well,
yeah,
I know
she's just
that
a typical
is, but,
like farm, yeah. You know, farm girl or something like that.
Look,
there's room for all of them.
If somebody looks like Kate Upton, let them look like Kate Upton. Let's not criticize that. That we can't now start saying that there's something wrong with the way she looks, right? Victoria's Secret saying no, would never use somebody like her in our runway show. Ha! Huh, look at her.
That's odd.
Yeah,
what
it's
a
really
pig.
Odd. I bet they changed their mind.
That's really weird.
Which I say, it takes a lot for Victoria's Secret to tick me off, but stop it already. Don't be picking on my Kate.
Keith Richards, who is 900 years old, plays for the Rolling Stones. They still play, right?
I believe so.
Technically, they're still a band. They haven't broken up. I don't know what they've got planned this year, but yeah, they're still a band.
Whatever age Keith Richards is, he looks bad for it.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
If he was 100, he's a bad-looking 100.
Right.
He says he's very protective of his daughters. He's got a daughter, Alexandra, who is 25 years old, and then he's got another daughter, Theodora. And apparently he's very, very scary to guys that come over to date him.
I can imagine.
I find that hard to believe, though.
Why?
Because he's Keith Richards. Don't you get the feeling like you could push him over with your little finger?
Yeah, but he looks like Daft.
What's he going to do?
He seems crazy enough, though, to be able to do anything. He seems like he'd be unpredictable.
Well, I guess.
Like, no one would be surprised if Keith Richards is packing a gun, for instance.
Skinny little bitch.
He just looks, he's frail. He's frail and he's a, let's face it, he's a pussy.
So what does he do to these guys that come over that want to date
his
daughter?
He just says he shows them his knife collection.
Okay, nice.
Look at this. This is my knife. This is what I got. Look at this.
It's got to be weird for the Rolling Stones and for all of those older guys who are still dating girls in their 20s.
Yeah.
When their daughters are then in their 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. Apparently, they get over it. Apparently, they're fine. They figure out a way around it.
It doesn't bother
But
them
I would
too much.
Think that it would be weird.
Yeah.
And let me close with this just because Nancy Grace is back in the news.
Ugh.
Most hated woman on cable.
Yes.
She is trying to stir something up about Whitney Houston's death. Now, we haven't gotten the toxicology reports yet. The autopsy has been completed for Whitney Houston, who died Saturday, of course, at the Beverly Hilton. But no one is suggesting foul play. By all accounts, it was some sort of drug or alcohol thing that probably is what killed her. Nobody's suggesting that she was murdered or anything like that, right?
Right.
Well, here's what Nancy Grace said. I'd like to know who was around her. Who, if anyone, gave her drugs following alcohol and drugs? And who let her slip or pushed her underneath that water?
What?
Is she seriously trying to start something here?
It sounds like it. Who let Whitney Houston go under the water is what she is asking on her cable news show.
Does she know? And by the way, we don't know that didn't happen, but there's no evidence that it did.
I mean, there were a lot of other people in the hotel room, though, as we've talked about, on the other side of the door,
yeah,
and
you,
nobody is suggesting that that's the deal here.
You close the door when you take a bath.
Right.
Pretty much.
Sometimes you even lock it when
Especially
there are lots of people
drugs.
In the other room.
Yeah.
Yeah. But nobody went in there and murdered her, Nancy. Nice effort, though, right?
She's so hateable.
She's crazy.
Why is she so bad?
Today's celebrity birthday is former James Bond girl Jane Seymour. Has been acting for a long time. Was she Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
I don't know.
She
was
also? Yes.
Never 61 years old today. Matt Groening, the cartoonist who created The Simpsons, is 58 years old today. Janice Dickinson, America's first supermodel and one of the former hosts of America's Next Top Model, turns 57 years old today. Brandon Boyd, Lisa May, your boyfriend from Incubus, is 36. Drummer Ronnie Vannucci from The Killers, also 36 today. Bad Religion's drummer Brooks Wackerman is 35. Connor Oberst, very talented singer-songwriter, 32. And Little Precious from Glee, Amber Riley, is 26 today. Eric, Eddie Izzard, coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show. That is the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Have to stall for a minute to give Mr. Izzard a chance to work out his personal business at home.
He said a bad word.
No, he's done. He's good.
Is everything okay? What are you doing? Working a FedEx delivery? What's going on?
I'll do this one.
Yeah, pull up mic in front of your face. There you go.
I moved my backside.
There you go.
Can I say backside?
You can.
Can I say
certainly.
Microphone?
You can say mic.
Helicopters. Yes, as I was saying, I think...
We were talking about Obama showing up today.
We screwed up traffic. I think President Obama said that he'd like to travel around with just one guy who's good at stuff. But they've said no, a million guys is...
We need a million.
And I think that's... And that's not even a party thing, because I think...
Yeah, when he went to Europe, wasn't there a big...
It was a million.
Kerfluffle about that, and he said, because they were like, why do you have all these people and all this stuff going on when you travel? We don't do that. And he's like, it's not up to me.
Yeah, it is really not up to me. Whereas George Bush Jr., he used to go out with just three guys. Is that and right? then a billion other guys. protecting those three guys. So, yeah, I think it's what you do. And I think that's... and the car, you know, is made out of jelly and whatever.
I don't think it's made out of jelly, but...
I know that nobody likes it when the president comes to their city. It is a nightmare. The way to ensure that Los Angeles votes for you, Mr. President, is to swear that you won't come back between now and Election Day. You've got the vote.
But it's interesting because it's only Los Angeles. I mean, some of the eastern cities, if they have a public transport system that really wasn't destroyed by the motor industry back in the 20s, 30s, and whatever, then, because, you know, like in London, if something happens in England, then you say, okay, let's get on the tube, the underground, and off we go. And
but the president won't go on the tube.
No, but we can.
But you can. In
case. Right, exactly. He can avoid the traffic.
He can lock at the top and we just go down with the rabbits. And all.
Okay. Eddie, you're in the upper echelons of the entertainment industry. You hang out with the biggest stars on the planet. I want to talk about the Paul McCartney thing and that you did over the weekend in a minute. But have you entertained at the White House or entertained the president, met the Obamas at all?
No, I haven't. I don't push that. I don't think I should. My comedy doesn't really work in the, hey, and I've actually turned down a lot of... come and entertain this guy. He's got, and there's a load of cash in a bag for you if you want.
Right.
And I said no because I actually have to do the gig where they come to my gig because I'm going to go off on weird tangents. You know, Hollywood Bowl is perfect because then everyone rolls up.
Everybody knows what they're getting. They know what they're getting,
and they're actually making a commitment of paying. Whereas if you roll up and say this guy is really good, and now oh my god, he talked about the Edict of Nantes last night. I was on stage at the Coronet talking about the Edict of Nantes and the repeal of the Edict of Nantes, and that's just going to.
I don't even know what that is. I'm sorry.
No one knows what it is.
The French do. It was a. It was when because there were Protestants coming on, and there were Catholics. It was the original Christian religion, and then the Protestants said, "Let's change this and less cash, guys."
Right.
And so the French king said the Edict of Nantes. He went to Nantes, which is a town, and he said, "Okay, here's my edict. Everyone's cool." Everyone, both Protestant, Catholic, they're cool.
Everyone's
and then a
cool.
bit later, he said, actually, not so cool, and he repealed the Edict of Nantes. And that caused hell in a handbag, and all the Protestants had to leave, and they went all around the world taking cash and abilities and fighting skills around the world. And
okay,
the
so you worked this into your gig last night?
Yes, that's what...
You must be a genius.
No, I was quite impressed. They were a little bit silent for a while, going, what is the Edict of Nantes? But I was quite impressed that we could do that, as opposed to going for certain jokes about certain parts of the anatomy that
sure,
some people
of course.
Go.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, that's where I room for.
Do you get the feeling sometimes like you're going over people's heads and you need to kind of dumb it down a little?
Yeah, but no,
you
but
need to hear.
No, I assume the intelligence. No, bit. I assume the intelligence.
Don't assume
you're
that.
Intelligent. The intelligent people in America are the same percentage as the intelligent people in Europe.
Which
this
is
small. What has worked out. No, well, no, it's enough. If you're taking 300 million, I don't want 300 million to come to one gig.
That's
because the toilets will back up and everything.
Right.
So you don't need to get everyone. And it's not. And I talk rubbish about the eating tonight. Once I get into it, because, you know, what was I talking about? You know, I will.
How do you find
but isn't that offensive to those? Isn't that offensive to those who hold the Edict of Nantes close to their hearts? I mean, there must have been a lot of those people there.
But you can't really hold an edict close to your heart, especially if done in the 1700s. But I keep asking them questions. The audience becomes my Wikipedia. And we were talking about sharks, and sharks haven't evolved for 200 million years. But
right.
then if you're very religious, you don't believe in evolution. So you just say, well, sharks were put there by God to, I don't know what, to just scare
to
the hell out of
them. Else.
So, yeah, it is interesting. Because I think, you know... There's enough dumbing down stuff that I dumb up. I do dumbing up.
You dumb up.
Yeah,
I like dumbing up.
And it's pseudo intellectual. It's not. It's like, everything I do is just stolen from Monty Python. I'm like a one person. I've stolen everything from Monty Python. Highbrow stuff talked about in a lowbrow way. Lowbrow stuff talked about in a highbrow way. All you need to do is be street smart, and you can get this stuff.
Here's what I usually do. I look around and see if everyone's laughing. And then I laugh along with them because that's my cue.
No, I mean the stuff on The Simpsons will happen that I won't get. You know, they can do wonderful stuff. They do references to
They'll
films.
They'll do jokes and stuff that you don't understand because you don't know the reference?
Yeah, sometimes the references or, you know, because it might be a very American reference or sometimes it's a reference I don't actually know. But there should be that stuff out there. There's enough stuff that dumbs down.
Agreed.
And American television got locked in some time back and is now breaking out of. with the cable networks,
yes,
of the dumbed down stuff. I remember on an interview about Monty Python, Lorne Michaels saying you couldn't do that stuff on American television when he was starting Saturday Night Live, I believe. And so they were pushing into that more edgy stuff, the more erudite, more, you know, stupid smart. It's smart stupid. It's not all just, and then we're going to look at carbon dating of rocks, you know, and amorphocyte was found on the moon. I will say that amorphocyte was found on the moon.
Of course.
Just in case there's any astronauts in the audience. but
you have to cover all your bases.
Yeah, but I'm sure the American government were hoping that gold was and diamonds would have been found on the moon. That would have been fun to come back with bags of that stuff. So we found it. But in fact,
Eddie Izzard is here in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We need to mention, because this is a rare opportunity to see a guy who easily sells out the Hollywood Bowl in the Largo, which is in the Coronet, right? The Largo at Coronet, basically, yeah. I guess is what it is, right?
Largo's and run you, by Flanagan, and that's
right. And you've done a few nights there already this week, but you're rolling, man. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. I mean, you're going to be there like all week. Because you're working out new material? Is that why people come see you?
The new show is a coming. I plan to the old show, which is called Stripped, is being put to bed now, and it's already been filmed at Madison Square Garden, and it was actually filmed at Hollywood Bowl as well, and it's gone around the world. And then the next tour is going to hopefully just be this massive tour going to places like India and Kathmandu.
Really?
I met a man from Kathmandu, which sounds like a story, doesn't it?
It does. It does sound like a limerick, yes.
Yeah, I met a man from Kathmandu who was in New York, and I said, and he was saying, hey, you're that guy that stuff, and I said, yeah, and I said, where are you from? Kathmandu. I said, really? Can you do gigs in English in Kathmandu? And he said, yeah, there's enough kids speaking English there. Wow. I said, I will come.
I wonder what that's going to be like in different places like that where they speak some English but not a lot.
See the kids, if you think about kids now, and I know this from Eastern Europe, and it's, you can't monitor it so easily in America, but the kids in Eastern Europe have now got really pretty good English. Last 20 years since the wall came down. And that will be probably the same in Nepal. There will be a whole bunch. I won't get the whole of Nepal,
right,
which is the capital of Kathmandu was the capital of Nepal, but I won't get the whole of that. But I will get a section who go to university. Even if you play the University of Nepal,
right. But you don't want all those people anyway, because then you have bathroom trouble.
Exactly. Right. So that is the sense.
Do you go to a place like Nepal just because, hey, I can go there for work,
yes,
and have a vacation,
yes,
and see a place I ordinarily never would have been able to see? Is that why?
Absolutely. Yeah, just because I met a guy from Kathmandu, and then I tweeted, I'm going to go to Kathmandu, and now I have to go to Kathmandu.
Now you're locked in.
Like I was playing before, my training for Hollywood Bowl, because I realized I was the first stand-up in there to do a full show, and I thought I'd do an advanced ninja training, which was doing 3 months of the gigs in French in Paris. So
it's so weird to think of you training. You have to train before.
Well,
that was
mind training. You know, if you do the gigs, if you can make them laugh in the French language with the same material, then
right,
that's pretty much the ropes course of
I would imagine
of going on stage. Tout le spectacle en français, and it works, and they laugh in the same places.
Really?
But you promise,
yeah,
English language for the Largo shows coming up.
It is
week,
all
right?
Well, I do lapse into just there's a little bit of French, but it's very easy.
Sometimes I can't help myself by lapsing into French as well.
There's 10 to 20 seconds in French.
starting tomorrow night at the Largo, you can buy tickets for just $30 for probably some of the nights. I'm sure some are already gone, but it's largo-la.com. Eddie Izzard is our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. More with him after this. Couldn't be more thrilled to have Eddie Izzard in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. EddieIzzard.com is the website, on Twitter at Eddie Izzard. He makes all of us feel dumb and not funny when he stops by.
It shouldn't be dumb. It should be.
No, we're
just
dumb. There's nothing you can do to make us feel better.
You actually know. If someone says Edict of Nantes, you're going to go, oh, no, I think I heard about this.
Eddie is on stage at the Largo. For many nights starting tomorrow night, please go to largo-la.com. I want to talk about the thing you did this past weekend, because I guess the Grammys every year honors somebody as the Music Cares Person of the Year. It's a big charity thing for the Naris stuff that they do. And this year it was Paul McCartney.
Yep.
And they put together a phenomenal all-star musical lineup, but then you were also invited. How does a guy like you get on a music bill like that?
Well, they said they wanted a host. I don't know if it actually needs a host, but anyway, they said they wanted a host, and I don't do hosting. I'm good at the sort of long form of you know, wandering on at the bowl and then just whittering on about things for hours. It's a different thing. I don't really do singles. And but then they said Paul McCartney said he would like you to do it, and I said, does he really want it? Or somebody saying that? Oh yeah, Paul would really like. So I said,
do you get the feeling sometimes it's the management.
I have experienced it when I've been asked backstage because so and so would love to see you. They're a huge fan, and you get backstage and you think, oh, I didn't realize this guy, and then you're there, and then when you meet the person, they go, hello, and then they move on, and you go, that's not exactly a big fan. That's more like I'm just some bloke standing in a line.
Right.
And so I realized that the PR people have just said this. So I'm very wary now. But I talked to Paul McCartney on the phone, and he said, well, no, you come and do it. And I said, I'm not good at this. So I made a deal that if I was terrible, that it was his fault.
Okay, good. That, you blame it on him.
And you could tell everyone.
Good. Yeah, that was my get-out clause. And then
you told the story of a lot of people don't realize the story of Paul McCartney with his dad being Jacques Cousteau, the famous oceanographer's mom was Catherine Hepburn. I mean, you just went through the whole life story of Paul McCartney that we didn't know.
How Winston Churchill was a family friend and brilliant deep sea diver, a line which I still like, brilliant deep sea diver. How you can be brilliant. But he must be someone who's a brilliant deep sea diver. But anyway, he bought Paul his first fishing rod, which he restrung into a bass guitar. And I found that, you see, if you say something serious, what a wonderful, this man has done this, has done that, and he's a musician, and he plays badminton, and the audience just cave in. And I think the performer, the actual creative person being honored, just caves in and goes, ooh, I can't deal with this. And then, or if you do the roasting, which is more American thing, which we don't have it so much in Europe, that just can get in and just needle and you think, ooh, that's sharp.
It's a little too rough.
Yeah. Well, it depends where it goes. I don't know if you feel good after it or you just feel dirty after it.
Right.
And my thing was to give the most weird tribute about some person. And it's true, because I say that Paul McCartney, he was in Hamburg when the Beatles got there, and he spoke fluent German. And the Beatles at that point were George Harrison and John Lennon, the son of Lennon who started the Russian Revolution. And then I had Stu Sutcliffe, who was there, Pete Best was there, also Muhammad Ali on flute, and Charles de Gaulle on xylophone, who was having a torrid affair with Leni Riefenstahl. So, and if you know these references...
I know most of them.
And as I was reading them out, I could see some people were paying attention slowly because they realized that this was actually a weird thing. And there was four chunks of this. And I just went on and on and on. And it took me about 15 hours to write it because it is rubbish, but it actually sort of makes vague sense. And everything happened in 1962 as well.
Sure.
It started in 1962. He went on in 1962. The Beatles formed and broke up in 1962. And
then quite a year.
And yeah, I realized after a while that if you say 1962 15 times, it's quite interesting.
But you know, Paul is a guy who has heard every intro that could possibly be given to him. He must have known what he was getting when he asked you to host it.
He didn't know he was getting that. I think he probably thought, I don't know what he thought he was getting, but that's what he got. And I've done them before and had not had a good time on them. But if I take this angle, no one's annoyed. It does actually talk about the stuff. And at the end, the final paragraph, if you do read it online, it says what I think. You know, you don't actually need words because the music speaks for itself.
Very nice.
And I quoted a line from Gladiator, all that we do in life echoes in eternity. So it's what you do with your life, not what you're, if you're born into stuff. This is why I'm against monarchy. If you're given this, if you inherit money, if you're this, if you...
I'm sorry, you're against monarchy. Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, like America. Remember you had that revolution?
Yes.
Which was slightly against monarchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, monarchy, hereditary privilege is a bad idea.
That's what I think, and I hate it with the passion, and I get beat up on all the time for that. Cause
by Americans or by British?
Bean loves the Queen.
I do love the Queen. I do love the Queen.
Explain why.
All I say is that she provides a valuable service to the people as a representative of them. She is a lot of people are invested in about.
I would say people are invested, but it's wrong. I think it should be democratic monarchy, and this is the idea I'm putting over.
Okay.
Is that
when you're the mayor of London, this is what you're going to make happen, right?
Well, I can't do it as mayor of London, but... It's an idea. The only way it would work, you see, Charlie's been waiting for ages. I think Charlie's got some nice positive ideas, and Charlie should get his go on the throne. And this is hereditary privilege, guys. How do you teach this to kids and say hereditary privilege is good? You get gowns and stuff, and everyone and the people around them is so obsequious.
Yeah.
So I feel this is all a bad thing. But if you get rid of that, then what do? You go presidential, da da da, all this kind of stuff. So I'm saying democratic monarchy. Charlie has his go. He has a full go.
Okay.
And then after that, you go to William, and William would have to agree with this, and you say, okay, this. Why don't we kick it open? Make it up to the first in charge up to the first in line to the throne, up to the 100th in line to the throne.
Okay.
All, say, 100 in that extended family.
And they all compete?
And they can all go for being king or queen for 4 or 5 years.
Make
say
it a reality
years.
Show.
Yeah. Well, no, don't make it a reality show. Actually, make it a serious
thing. You mean for real?
Thing. For real. And they go forward and say, look, I think I'd be a pretty good ambassador to the world, because that's what essentially we're asking them to
right.
Be an ambassador to the world.
But you need to do this before Charles, because Charles is going to be a terrible ambassador.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
No, I don't think so. No, I think, you know, he has done organic farming on with his the places that he lives, you know, and I think organic farming was an idea that wasn't there, and he was championing that beforehand.
Yeah.
The Prince's Trust, which is his trust, which I've done a gig for, is a good trust. It encourages people starting up businesses, quite often from ethnic minorities and different backgrounds.
No one better in England than him to be king. That's my question.
No, but,
he's been training for this his whole life.
And maybe you could, but I don't, you know, people have positive and negative things. I'm cool on Charlie. Give him his go, because he's been waiting forever.
All right.
And the Queen's never going to step off. You know, she's never going to go, okay, no. I've done, had a good innings, because she's just going to go on and on. She'll never do that, because her
she
mother...
She just passed her 60th year as
monarch.
I know,
she's going for Queen Victoria's...
60 years.
She's going for Queen Victoria's doodah, which is...
Look, I don't have any problem with phasing out the monarchy. It's not like I think the monarchy needs to live forever. I don't. I just love Queen Elizabeth. I think she is a magnificent woman. I think she has been brilliant for the country, and I don't want to see them tearing her down. I guess that's what my biggest
I don't think she's done enough. I don't. I mean, she's just been there, but she, you know, there's
I'd
ideas.
I'd like to tear her down.
I'd like, you know, I'd like her. I think Liz and Phil should have been more enterprising like Charlie's been. He's in the organic farming thing was not a thing that it was supposed to happen there, and he pushed for that to
is
happen.
Is that enough, though, the organic farming?
Is it enough? I don't know. But that and the Prince's Trust, and you know.
I just find it stupid.
Also, rainforest he's been pushing for. And there's a number of things. And then people say, well, then he interferes, and he shouldn't because he's in a monarchy, and it all gets complicated. But Liz and Phil, I feel there's a lot more that could have been done there over 60 years. Think about it, 60 years. Do something.
Yes.
Enterprise. Throw the thing open. Just come up with new ideas. But there's no ideas coming out of the monarchy. It's really been a hold on to the thing, keep the money intact, keep the crowns, keep the thing, keep the palaces.
But look at all the great Hollywood movies that are the result of the monarchy existing. I mean,
well,
what would we do without all of those?
No, that is very interesting.
The King's Speech
because,
and the Queen. I mean, there's so many of them.
But think about how many princess movies that America is in love with the idea of being a princess.
That's true.
There are so many America Girl, but she's actually in line to the throne. The number of princess movies is bazonkers. And that comes from you guys. And I firmly put, even though we'll probably have princess, you know, young girls wanting to be princess in Europe or UK, but it's really driven out of Hollywood.
Yeah,
some American girl wants to be a princess. So that means it's a human thing. It is not national, because you got rid of monarchy. But if monarchy turns up, especially if monarchy is pretty, then you go bananas over it. And everyone does around the world, and even in France or wherever. So pretty monarchy, you love. And that's just celebrity.
Ugly monarchy, not so good.
It's Well, this is how it seems to play
out.
All
right, okay.
I would not have expected this conversation on today's 7 of 8. I will tell you that.
But these
Eddie Izzard is here. We've got time for just one more segment with Mr. Izzard. Don't forget, he's going to be on stage at the Largo Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Tickets just $30 at largo-la.com. We'll be right back. One of those days where work doesn't seem like work, when Eddie Izzard is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, performing on stage at the Largo starting tomorrow night. We should mention, Eddie, thank you for reminding me that this is not a, hey, get there at 7 or for a 7:30 show. This is 11:45 p.m. is what time you're coming on stage, just before midnight.
We have cocktails at 5 p.m. for 11:45 p.m. start. So you can be just poured.
Is this because this is when your juices are flowing?
Yeah,
is when you get hot or what?
No, I just said I want to do the gigs now, and I said, well, there's people in the building doing their own show, so I said, well, I'll go after them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But also, I'd like LA to be up late. I'd like to start the movement to try and...
I would love for that to happen.
I don't know if it's ever going to happen because there's too many people, but you know, LA should be, there should be a 1 o'clock, hey, let's go do something, but it's let's
the
go.
1 o'clock is, everything's closed, now what do we do?
Yeah, it's let's go to bed.
Yeah.
And that's just like we're all children. And, you know. And everyone in the world thinks that LA is staying up late like in Paris, and no, it doesn't
they
have
do
to be everyone.
That?
Yeah,
I think everybody in LA, literally midnight, really pretty much midnight to one, it's over.
Yeah, it is over.
Yeah.
And
it's a bummer.
And there's a lack of taxis, and you have to go in the car,
culture.
And that's the whole problem.
Yeah.
And it's not good. And that was the motor industry buying up the public transport system back in the, what was
the
it, the 30s?
Cars. Yeah.
See? Yeah, they just got rid of the...
It all comes back to that, man. That's the source of all this country's goddamn problems, isn't it, Diddy?
Well, it could be LA's thing. LA had this pumping heart of downtown, and then the motor industry said, let's spread that out. And
yeah.
Something to do with the real estate industry as well, saying let's spread it out so everyone has to drive.
It's a long way to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Do I detect, because you live mostly in the United States, do I detect that you miss home a little bit sometimes?
I live mostly in my brain. I'm sort of here, there, and everywhere. So I will be, you know, back in the UK. And there's the Olympics coming up, which is fantastic for us. But then when I did 3 months in Paris, I was in Paris. And then when I was filming Treasure Island, that's coming on Sci-Fi later this year, that was in Puerto Rico and Dublin. I did a film called Lost Christmas coming out later this year. That was in Manchester. So it's wherever I am. And
is that difficult? Do you miss an anchor?
I actually quite like it. Because imagine when we got sort of settlements on Mars or the moon, and people say, so moon, Mars, Earth, where do you live really? And I go, Earth is really. So I actually, I live on the Earth. And,
okay.
And that's
all right, let me ask it another way then, because it's a fascinating life. Look, it may seem normal to you because you've been doing this for a long time, but most of us have a house that we go back to every day, okay? We may travel a couple of weeks here or there, but your life is very extraordinary and very different. If you're in one place too long, do you start to get super antsy and, oh my God, I got to get to Nepal. I've got to get out of wherever I am.
No, I don't have that either.
Do you have any problems?
No, any problems. It really doesn't. If I had to be somewhere for 6 months, if it was a terrible place, I suppose it would be awful, you know, because there could be a film that I do that's going to end up 6 months in some place.
Right.
I don't actually see the big problem of it, because I in my brain, I am sort of thinking about, oh, I'm planning things ahead in France and in Germany, doing gigs in German, Russian, Arabic, and Spanish, which is planned. So those plans go through my brain, and that makes me very happy.
You're talking about doing it all in those languages.
Yeah. Mein show auf Deutsch zu machen. I'm going to do that, and I have to learn, because I did 2 years of German at school, so I got to get that better. Uh-huh. Russian, I speak no Russian, but I want to go and play Moscow. And
when is that plan? Now you're
Friday.
Adding,
that's what's weird. Friday.
Now you're adding. I need to learn the whole language before I go there.
Well, I need to learn about half the language. I need to learn the show. You know, whatever show I'm doing, I need to get that translated in. I don't actually need to be fluent in the entire show. But then I found that when I was doing Paris, that if I improvised in each show, that I got more and more relaxed about saying, hey, qu'est-ce que c'est avec ça? Then, you know, I could just wander off into French, and sometimes it would be funny, sometimes it
wouldn't.
But
what if you get, like, hecklers in Russia? Then you won't know what they're saying.
I won't know what they're saying. I'll have to say, terribly sorry, but, what I'll do is I'll just say, yeah, that's what I thought,
and then
carry on. I've already got one of those, and it's blue. And I will probably try, that's just a technique you can do. But eventually, hopefully, I can understand what the guy's saying in Russian and respond.
But Kevin, can you imagine what it would be like? Imagine. We're not idiots, or we never will be.
No.
But imagine if you and I sat down and said, all right, 1 year from today, we're going to do an entire show in Arabic. We might as well give up now. It can't be done, right? It would be impossible physically for us to learn how to do that.
Yeah,
we couldn't do it.
You could do it, but you'd have to want it like blood, which is just a saying that I say.
You want it like blood.
Yeah, want it
how
so
much.
How much
do you like blood?
Blood is quite necessary.
It is, but
without it, you're just this
how much do you want it?
Shriveled up guy who's in an exhibition that guy's out. That's the thing, is because when I was doing the French gigs, I'd be standing on stage, and this idea of going would go through my head saying, this is easy, other people could do this, and then I go, actually, this is really hard, no one's going to do this. And
do you think in French when you're up on stage doing the French act?
I think I do, because it's going so fast that I can't really tell, but I think I do. I just reach for the French of it, and then sometimes I have to slow down and go, oh, hang on, where am I going with this, because it's a new words coming to my head.
I imagine the crowds appreciate the fact that you're trying,
there's a guy, if you've seen Midnight in Paris, there's a guy.
It's a great movie.
Actor called Gad Elmaleh plays the detective that's put on in that. Now he's the Jerry Seinfeld of France, along with a guy called Jamel Debbouze. And I met these guys, and they were coming to the show, and this is brilliant. And he introduced me on the final show I did, which I recorded all in French, at La Cigale, which was a very hip venue in Paris. And he said that the Paris audiences, he was going up and talking to them, saying, do you know Eddie Izzard's stuff? And they're going, yeah, it's great. This is what he was saying. Paris people were saying to him, yeah, Eddie Izzard, it's great. Have you seen what he's doing? No, I haven't seen any of it, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And I thought this is interesting. And he was finding it funny. People were buying into the idea I was doing it. because probably that if you turn up and say, I've bothered to learn the language, it's a pretty good calling card.
I guess so.
And it's not an instant thing, because I don't get hits. Like in rock and roll, they just turn up and you're number one. Hey, right. I wasn't even here. And I'm number one. And here's the song. Yabba dabba doo. Hey, we love you. We love you. Hey, excellent. Fantastique. Je veux avoir du sexe maintenant. And, but
I like that last part.
Yeah.
But we have to leave it. We have to leave it already. I'm so sorry we're out of time. But no, what a bizarre life you live. And you lead it. It's so funny to hear you come in and tell us what you've been up to since whatever the last time we saw you.
Well, it's bizarre, but good. Good bizarre.
Well done.
Yes.
The Largo is where Mr. Izzard will be working out some new stuff starting tomorrow night at 11:45 p.m. Please get tickets for one of the upcoming shows. You will not regret it. Largo-LA.com. I hope we'll see you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, what are we doing coming up after 9 o'clock? Or is it Kevin's new hit record? Is that what we're doing?
No,
we're
I think
that?
We changed it for something else.
No, I'm pretty
better.
Sure
really?
We did not.
I'm pretty sure.
No, we have that other thing. Remember that thing that's really funny that we've been waiting to get on for a long time?
Well, if we don't get time to play it on the air again today, go to krock.com or kevinandme.com right now and look for the tribute to Kevin song from DJ Omar Khan. I think you're going to like it very much. In the meantime, we're filling in with the Showbiz Beat In for Ralph Garman this hour. Brad Williams joins us next hour. I don't know if I can go on as depressed as I am every time I compare myself with Eddie Izzard.
Don't compare yourself with him.
Dude's, I mean, it's dude intimidating.
Look, he's head and shoulders above.
He wants to play Russia, so he's going to learn Russian first.
Right.
He's,
but I mean,
otherworldly.
But that's the frosting on the cake. He's a look at how successful he is. Look at how funny he is. Look at what a terrific actor he is.
Agreed.
Look at how smart he is.
Right.
Look at what a nice guy he is.
Right.
What are we doing with our lives?
Well, but we don't have those options.
I know, but
like we're not just turning down those abilities. We don't have them.
And I know that everybody says, look, if you start comparing yourself to other people, you're always going to be disappointed because there are always people who are going to be above you and there are always going to be people who are going to be below you. I think as a policy, though, we need to stop rubbing shoulders with the people who are that much better than we are. I don't think that's good for us.
Doesn't it maybe elevate us just a little bit?
But no, it does nothing but point out how weak sauce we are.
But then we're not going to ever have any guests.
That's a good point. Really, it'll just be Steve-O. That's all that'll be left. So.
No, even him.
All right, let me start with this story. It's not technically a showbiz story, but because Jeremy Lin has become a superstar in this country virtually overnight, he, of course, is the new player for the New York Knicks, who has now scored, I believe, 109 points in his first four games as a starter.
If you haven't seen any of the highlights of Jeremy Lin, look him up on YouTube, and there's a bunch of clips of him scoring, and he's a brand new player and is dominating like we've never seen.
How old is he? 23, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
He is Asian, so there's that component that has made him unbelievably loved by millions of people around the world. I mean, they're now starting to show Knicks games in China, for instance. You know, I mean, it's like it's happening so fast. And the reason I bring him up in the show business is because he's a star like Tim Tebow is a star now. He has already transcended sports right now. And Floyd Mayweather Jr. has got himself into a little bit of trouble because he tweeted this swipe at Jeremy Lin on Monday. Here's what he posted. Jeremy Lin is a good player, but all the hype is because he's Asian. Black players do what he does every night and don't get the same praise.
They don't.
Your thoughts, please?
A, they don't. B, C-A. I mean, if somebody came into the league as... Wasn't he, like, not even playing last year?
Well, when we had Money on a couple days ago, he said that he was with the Golden State Warriors for a brief time, played very briefly. Same deal in Dallas very briefly.
But didn't really play.
Essentially, this is his rookie year in terms of how much playing time he's getting. Yeah,
right.
Because all these guys had to get hurt or be out for various reasons for him to even get into the lineup.
So if a black guy got into the lineup like that and scored 25-30 a game, including game winners like last night he hit a three-pointer to win the game, of course they would be getting this kind of hype.
I think so, too. I think anyone who excels in the NBA out of the box like this, who's now a star, and we didn't know who he was a week ago, I think would be getting the press. But he is, there's no question that Jeremy Lin is getting additional press because of how devoutly a Christian he is, and because he is Asian, and that's still a little bit of a rarity in American sports. So you have any problem with what Floyd Mayweather said? Because a lot of people do.
Well, I think it's stupid.
He's been heavily criticized for bringing race up as a component. He went on to say, after he was criticized on Twitter by his followers, other countries get to support and cheer their athletes and everything is fine, but as soon as I support black American athletes, I get criticized. I'm speaking my mind on behalf of other NBA players. They are programmed to be politically correct and will be penalized if they speak up. So he basically is saying, look, I'm a black guy speaking for other black guys, and this is BS that this Asian guy is getting all the press. I don't know why he feels like he needs to throw himself in the middle of this. I don't know what the advantage is for him to do this, but...
He's just trying to make headlines. He's an A-hole.
Maybe. Maybe he is.
That's real talk right there, man.
But the difference between Jeremy Lin and a guy like Floyd Mayweather, though, is Jeremy Lin doesn't come up against a team in the schedule and go, I don't think I want to play them. I think I'm going to sit this one out. I'm not going to play against them. I'll wait until another team comes in that I'd prefer to play.
Give me a call when you have a better team to play.
Right, like Mayweather would do.
If you're hoping to see where Whitney Houston OD'd, you're going to have to wait some time. TMZ is reporting that the room where she was found dead, the hotel room, room 434.
Yes.
Is already occupied and has a long waiting list.
I would have thought whack. You said that it was closed perhaps for
no.
a while.
Apparently they are getting flooded with requests for that room, which I can't get my head around. I don't know why you would want to.
What do you suppose the people who want to stay in that room are all about?
I don't know. I don't know if they're fans of hers.
It's probably
or if
probably
they're fans of death like Bean. Like, I could see Bean doing this.
And some people that think it'd just be a cool story.
I guess, but how cool can the story be? You're staying in a hotel room. Nothing's going to happen. She's not going to come back and attack you.
Maybe her ghost will. But what about the Whitney Tub of Death, though? What about that?
Apparently,
that's not a draw for you?
There's a long line for the Whitney Tub of Death.
Oh, my God.
And I saw them last night at the Troop, and they were very good.
Yeah, they're playing Coachella. They're warming up for Coachella now. I don't know. That is weird. I think if I were the hotel, I would not want that room to be turned into that thing. I would rather not have that in my hotel, and I would keep it closed for a month. I wouldn't rent that room out for a month, and then slowly, without mentioning it to anybody, I would just assign it to regular tourists and stuff without making a big deal about it. And hope that, And let me close with this, because this is huge news for Kevin and millions of movie fans around the world. The new Transformers movie details are starting to come out. This is Transformers 4. And it is going to be Michael Bay doing it again. And I wanted to bring it up today so that you can make your plans, Kevin, because it now has a release date.
Okay.
The new Transformers 4 movie is going to be out. And it's going to be out the 4th of July weekend.
4th of July. Okay, that's coming up. Very good.
In 2014.
2014?
Not 2013. No, 2014 is when the new movie is going to be coming out.
I hope I can make it. I'm pretty busy that 4th of July.
The Transformers Dark of the Moon, by the way, the third in the franchise, and apparently the only one that was good, from what I understand.
No.
Oh, really?
It was good, but it was two movies worth. I mean, it was way too long, in my
opinion. It was way better than the second one, though, right?
I think, but the first one was the best, to me.
You think the first one was the best?
By far, but go ahead.
Well, the third one made over $1 billion. Yeah. The three films together have made $2.7 billion worldwide, so they're not going to be closing down that franchise anytime soon. But yeah, 4th of July weekend 2014, so just 2.5 years from now, you'll get a chance to see that one if you'd like.
All right. I'm gonna pen that in right now. Celebrity birthdays. Actress Jane Seymour is 61 years old. Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons, is 58. Model Janice Dickinson, from the neck down, pretty hot. America's Next Top Model, 57 years old. Singer Brandon Boyd of Incubus.
Yes.
Lisa's boyfriend.
Yes.
36. Drummer Brooks Wackerman of the Bad Religion is 35. Connor, is it Oberst or Oberst? I heard you say Oberst. Oberst, okay.
That's Oberst.
Is 32 years old, and Little Precious, actress Amber Riley from Glee, 26 years old today, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
Our friend Brad Williams joins us in studio, Funny Brad on Twitter. Hilarious comedian. How was your Valentine's Day thing last night at the Viper Room with the penthouse pets and the stripper pole and all that stuff?
I'm pulling, what is it, Cat, going, this
really?
Morning.
Oh,
man.
You're hurting?
I was, in addition to that show, which was a lot of fun, I went out to a bunch of different bars in Hollywood, ended up at a restaurant, and I was slightly intoxicated because, I had a beer and a half.
That's and, enough for you.
That's enough, right?
Hey, at 4'4", cheap date.
And let's not forget, guys, Brad is a little person, and everybody who meets him wants to buy him a drink because that's they true. Think he's Wee Man.
Yes.
So he's got that going for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. I was kind of drunk, and I was walking around at this really nice restaurant that they did this whole Valentine's Day thing. There was balloons. There was a string quartet. And, like,
nice.
It was this really romantic thing, and I just came there to have a few drinks, and I started walking up to tables and just going, all right, darling, he bought me for you for the night. I'm the gift. And, you know, not used to doing this, but 2.5-some. Let's go. Let's
That's
go.
Awesome. It's not That's a threesome. Great line.
And like, the
Did
guy.
Did it work?
No.
No, because the guy was always there, right?
Yeah, the guy was always there, but I just kind of C-blocked him. You know
sure. Hey, man, I'm not going to touch you. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. You can stay in the corner. It's fine. It's not cheating if it's with a dwarf. It doesn't matter.
I'm only a half. Don't think about me as a
exactly.
threat.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I had a ball last night. And, yeah, according to my Twitter the next morning, I was saying crazy things to crazy people. So.
Yeah, I got a bunch of different tweets about you.
The legend is growing. King of porn, Brad Williams. King of porn.
Brad is heading up to Vancouver, Canada for shows this weekend, but you can next see him in Temecula at the Pechanga Casino. That's going to be on February the 24th and 25th. Tickets are available at Pechanga.com, and you should. And the reason you're back here today, and you did such a great job yesterday, is we invited you to come on back and take a look at the Showbiz Beat for us.
That's
in for
right.
Ralph Garman this hour.
In for Ralph Garman. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely.
Get to the Showbiz News. Our Kobe and Vanessa Bryant back together?
What is happening with that?
Here's what happened. At the game last night, Vanessa was there, sitting close, and they were actually spotted, and a picture was taken of them kissing in the tunnel.
What?
Yeah!
Now, that's what they used to do when they were together. She would always meet him in the tunnel with the
right.
kids.
And then kiss and all that, and I guess they were doing that.
That happened again.
Last
well,
night.
It was Valentine's Day, so it kind of makes sense if you've got anything left for your spouse, that's the day you come out, right?
But it didn't seem like she did.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking she already blew through the $125 million.
Probably.
And now she's going, I need another one. Also, how emasculating is it if she says, yes, you can come over to the house, and it's like, I bought that house.
Yeah.
That's my house.
Maybe she whispered, hey, you only scored 10 points. How am I supposed to live?
And I didn't follow this maybe as closely as you did, Kevin, being the big Laker fan, but how did she get all three of their South Bay homes? Like, where is he living? What's that deal?
I don't think he's hurting in any way.
No.
But she took everything she could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
And, so I have no idea.
Maybe they're back together?
Maybe Kobe's learning from Tiger. Maybe it's like you split up with your wife, you don't win anymore. That's the thing.
That could be.
So maybe he's like a good luck charm. So if they are getting back together, whatever works to bring us another parade and shut Dave up about the GD Clippers, then that's fine. I support that.
Listen, I feel bad for Dave because for 15 years he's had nothing to cheer for. And now that he finally does, so good for him. I still hope the Lakers beat him, but good for him.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. Whitney Houston did, first of all, spoiler alert, she's dead.
What?
Come on.
Spoiler alert.
I haven't watched the news from Saturday yet. Thanks for ruining that for me.
The news?
sorry to break it to you guys. But apparently, she may have had a premonition about her death. On Friday, the day before she died, she was actually performing, and she performed the song, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, and she was spouting Bible verses to the people in the audience, and friends were reportedly hearing her saying, I got to go get Jesus. I got to go find Jesus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Meaning I'm going to go see him?
Either that, or she needed to get her roof
get
redone
right.
and find Jesus over at Home Depot. That's one option. But
that was a sad performance. I don't know if you guys saw that video of her jumping up on stage with the gospel singer Kelly Price, and she's a mess. Her hair is kind of mad, and she's just hot and sweaty, and that voice was gone. I mean, it
sounded like that Kevin song.
How dare you? How dare you have to serve?
But, I mean, it's just such a far cry from, I'm probably like a lot of people have been watching the YouTube video of her doing the national anthem.
Which was
unbelievable.
Yeah, it was hair raising on the back of your neck.
Real, and how effortless she was singing it. Like, she wasn't even trying. I mean, and that was at a time when we just went into Iraq for the first Persian Gulf War, so it was very patriotic. Fast forward to 2011, when our troops are in Iraq, Christina Aguilera does the national anthem, forgets the words.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know. That just shows you how far we've fallen. And Christina joins the Lisa May camp of hating the troops, apparently, because she forgot
too
to
bad.
Yeah.
Lisa does hate the military,
really?
Right?
Did you have to He's revive
bringing,
that?
I'm bringing
really?
It back.
I like Hangover Brad. He's a little cantankerous.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. How did you use the word cantankerous?
How dare you, sir?
Oh, good Lord. All right.
Half a sir.
Now, this one is scary.
Yes.
In an interview with Allure magazine, porn star Kim Kardashian revealed that Khloe Kardashian asked her if Kim would carry Khloe's baby as a surrogate.
What?
No. Unacceptable. Unacceptable to ruin Kim's body for Khloe.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like...
It should be the other way around.
Right.
Absolutely.
You don't take the Ferrari out on the off-road dirt track. No. You take the dune buggy, the one that already has the bumps and the scratches and everything in it, to ruin that one. Jeez. How did that conversation go? I just went, Kim, I have a question for you. Just wanted to know if Lamar could put a baby in you. And of course, Kim's all excited. She's like, wait, Lamar? Like, she's
Lamar?
Just...
he's in the NBA, right?
Yeah, exactly. She like, he's black in the NBA. That's all I need, apparently. Has she gone through every guy now in the NBA? So now she has to go through her sister's husband?
I don't know.
And is that going to be the Antichrist? Conceived by Khloe, put inside Kim. That's the Antichrist.
Sure could be.
Tim Tebow needs to come in on a unicorn and throw a lightning bolt into her uterus.
Or whatever it is he does. I'm with you.